now, thanks to Justin Garcia. So you feel better? You feel better after talking with him? Good. I do too. I am very curious if Giannis plays in this series and what it looks like if he doesn't. But we will all find out together in the coming days. I love the reckless speculation. I respect that, because I would never do that. Tausch, Jesse made a discovery today that I thought was pretty humorous. He discovered that...
English or British?
I don't know. I'll have to check with his mum. Jesse discovered that every year I apparently do a pre-draft series because he was apparently confused about a quarterback story that ran in the State Journal this morning.
Well, first, the quarterback was yesterday. And I was looking at, okay, whatever Jason's Sunday article is in the State Journal, usually a pretty good jumping off point of conversation for
Indeed.
Us to get into. And imagine my surprise when the tease tweet for this article, why the Packers are looking to add depth at quarterback in the 2024 NFL draft.
Yeah, clickbaity.
What?
Little clickbaity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What?
Trying to trick you into clicking.
Well, it worked.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Tausch, as we discussed at the time, because I talked to Ron Wolf. We need to get him on now still. I forgot that was on my to-do list. But they want to go back to the old days when Ron would always take a quarterback. He ran 9 drafts. He took 7 quarterbacks. And that doesn't include trading for your old teammate Favre. My only question is, if you want to use your draft picks to maybe package them up to make trades, which we're getting the impression Goody wants to do, doesn't want to leave the draft with 11 players again, wants to manipulate the board a little bit, he's kind of come out right out and said it. Do you have enough picks to, I don't want to say squander, but use on a quarterback that you love your starter and you really like your backup?
Yeah, but you always like your backup. So I'm not interested in that.
I don't know if you always do.
No, they say they always do. When have you ever heard him say, we don't have a backup? We don't like this guy. We don't think this guy's any
good. Well, yeah, they don't.
When?
I mean, they don't say that. But I think they realized very quickly that maybe their evaluation of Brett Hundley was incorrect.
Hundley, for sure. DeShone Kizer.
They started him and played and kept him on the team for what, 2 or 3 years?
Well, no. The year he played, the next year he lost the competition to Tim Boyle, and I don't know how much they love Tim Boyle either, because as we saw how Tim Boyle played, he got the number 2 job in 2020 in part because they knew that their number 1 first-round pick wasn't going to be ready to play. So I'm not... They seem more impressed and more enthralled with Sean Clifford than they have with other backups of recent vintage, in my opinion.
I mean, you could take that for what it's worth. Sean Clifford, yeah, you don't know. But to act like they're like just completely enamored with him, I would say...
My point is that if you like him enough, then use a pick somewhere else. You don't need to pick a guy that if
Sean
Clifford is...
What's the most important position in the NFL? What's the most important position in the NFL?
A quarterback. Do you know how many they carry on the 53-man roster at that most important position? 2.
3.
No, 2.
Don't you get an exemption if you keep one, an extra one? Don't you get an exemption?
No, you don't. You get a game day. It's different on game day that he's able to play. But you don't get a roster
exemption.
Yeah,
it's a game day exemption.
No.
Yeah, but you get a game day exemption.
No, he's basically inactive unless the other two guys get hit by a bus and he has to play.
Okay, so I think to sit here and say, well, we're all set with quarterback. First off, let's say Sean Clifford is Matt Hasselbeck part 2. You got him for a year and a half or 2 more years. That's it. So you want to constantly be resetting the clock. If he's great, he's not going to stay. And he's going to go somewhere else, so you're going to trade him. Jordan Love is going to be your starting quarterback for the next decade, if all goes according to plan.
Yes.
And to act like, well, we're all set here, nothing to look at. You have 11 picks. And if you're going to use a sixth-round pick on a quarterback that you think has some potential to develop, use it. I mean, oh, Sean Clifford's this guy. Oh, he's the guy. Yeah, he could be the guy, and you still are going to have to refurbish this spot down the road. And this is a spot you don't want to be spending a ton of money in the veteran backup world and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So you better make sure you're developing that spot. So, no, to answer the question is the depth. If you're going to start using second, third-round picks, I have an issue. But if you're going to take flyers on potential,
how far down?
Late,
how
sixth
far
round.
Down? Okay.
Sixth round.
So the guy I threw out there in my story was Sam Hartman, the Notre Dame quarterback.
Is it because he's handsome? Is that why you picked him?
He is handsome. I wish I was as handsome as him. I will admit to publicly, he is a handsome fella. But he fits that profile. Quite frankly, he's this year's Sean Clifford, right? I mean, the dude played six college seasons. Now, Clifford played them all at Penn State.
This gets tiring sometimes. I'm going to be honest with you. We cover the Packers so exclusively. Every quarterback. Remember everybody said Kirk Benkert's the next great thing?
I don't remember ever
saying
that.
Oh, he's great. He's great with the media. Oh, he's great here. And we get so caught up in stuff that we crown guys.
I'm
and
not
it's always crown
no,
city.
No. You're misinterpreting
what I said.
You
just compared. This guy could be the next. He could be the next.
No, he's.
That's what
he's
you just
this
said
year's.
It.
Are you done?
You said he could be the next Sean Clifford.
No, I said
what
he's
this, Sean Clifford.
He's,
done?
Stop. He's this year's Sean Clifford. In that, before you jumped in, I was going to add, he's a guy who played six college seasons, and so he's more experienced as a draft pick than other quarterbacks would be if you're drafting him in the sixth or seventh round, which is where Dane Brugler has him pegged. And so you're getting a guy who's played a crap load of games, albeit in college, but a guy that you're not drafting him to be your next starter. You have your starter. You're not spending this pick saying, God, I really hope this guy develops into my starting quarterback. Who was the guy? Chris Winkie? Is he the guy that was like 30 years old by the time he got drafted? If you're drafting him to be your starter and he's already 25, 26 years old, Sean Clifford is older than Jordan Love. I always get a kick out of that. But what I'm saying is if you want to develop backups that can play, but you have your guy, it seems to me that guys that played a ton of college football should be further along. Football IQ, et cetera. You're not drafting them based on, ooh, this guy's got a high ceiling that he could someday be our starter. You don't necessarily need that. You need a guy that if something happens to Jordan Love for a few games, he can go in and play and not stink. And I would think guys that played a ton of games would be good.
About not having a guy that can win games. The quarterback position shouldn't be about, well, this guy's incredibly adequate.
No,
not when you're drafting.
You're not understanding me. I'm not liking what you're hearing. Do you want a guy? Do you want a guy who's a?
I don't know what you're saying.
Let me ask you this: do you want a guy if you're drafting a quarterback? What do you want? Do you want a guy who has played a handful of games and is a project, a big time developmental player that has a long way to go? Or do you want a guy that has played a ton of games that you think could play in an emergency pretty much right away? Because lots of other teams don't want young backups. They want veteran backups. They want the Matt Hasselbecks. They want the Doug Petersons. The Packers don't apparently believe in that. They haven't believed in that in a long time since you were playing with Doug Peterson. So my point is, if you don't want a veteran who's played in the league and started a bunch of games, you don't want Matt Ryan coming out of retirement and out of the TV booth, then don't you want guys that have enough experience that can play if you need them to, as opposed to a project that's going to be potentially really, really raw and not ready to play if something happens to Jordan Love? Is my thought process
drafting
failing there?
If I'm drafting a developmental quarterback, or if I'm the Packers in this position, when I have my stud backup in Sean Clifford, I am looking for someone with an incredibly high ceiling that I can grow and try to develop. I'm not interested in getting some eighth-year quarterback that can't move, but he always got a ton of experience. Don't care. If I'm going to take a sixth or seventh round pick, I want somebody that's got some physical skills and that is a raw piece of clay that will fit with what I'm trying to do. I'm not interested in some eight-year project that, oh, he bounced around to 15 schools, but, oh, well, he knows how to hand the ball off.
He only went to two. He went to Wake Forest and Notre Dame.
Uninspired. I couldn't be more uninspired. Give me somebody with big upside that might completely bust. The beauty of this is you have your guys. You have your spot set, and you now are looking to grow and get some big potential that if it doesn't work, it ain't the end of the world. But to go safe with some seven-year vet COVID quarterback? No, I'm not interested even in the least bit.
You but know that's be what great? Sean Clifford
You know who'd be great? I would love to see
Matt Ryan.
The Green Bay Packers take a flyer on Mordecai. He tested out of the roof. He is a tough kid. He ain't going to get drafted, more than likely. And he's going to come in. He's going to bring you the stuff, and I think he's going to be somebody that's got some upside. Now, he doesn't have all the size that you're looking for or anything else, but that's more along the lines of what I'm thinking than some, you know, what's Chase Daniel? Oh, he sat in the league for 17 years. Nobody ever wanted to start him. Those are the facts.
Tanner Mordecai is Dane Brugler's 25th-ranked quarterback. He is the list ends with priority free agents at number 23. So he's in the best of the rest crew. You won't have to draft him. Does that interest you even more? A raw piece of clay that you don't have to draft? Because that goes back to my original point of not picking one. Doesn't it?
I didn't know that was your point.
Well, originally, that's where we started. It's not where we ended up. All right. We need to play trivia. Jesse, what's today's category and what caller would you like?
All right. So you may recall last week.
I just don't want you to sit there because the dude's got good hair and played
that's
at Notre
not
Dame.
Why.
Oh, he'd be great. He'd be a great fit in Green Bay.
I didn't even know what he looked like.
He's been around forever.
Until I saw this morning's State Journal print edition, and he's got the flowing locks and the beard. It's a very flattering photo of Sam. He is good looking, but I didn't know what he looked like. That's not why I put him in there, but he is good looking. You are so good looking. Jesse, what's today's category and what caller? Why are you shaking your head at me? You ended up in the place I started, which was I don't want to use a draft pick on a quarterback.
No,
that's where you
not
ended
where
up
ended
with
up.
Tanner Mordecai.
No, I want a sixth or seventh round pick with a ton of upside that you can grow and develop. That's what I want. You want some old, washed up college guy that
Wait,
has played a ton of reps.
How can you say he's washed up?
I'm not saying Sam Hartman. I don't know anything about Sam Hartman other than he's handsome. All I'm saying, you're sitting there, he's got to have a bunch of experience. Not when you have your two quarterbacks already. You don't.
You can take Tua's younger brother. How do you like that one? He'd be tons of potential, right? Jesse, what's today's category and what caller do you want?
Be interesting. You may recall last week my questions were ridiculed by at the back half of the week. So, living up to his promise, Tier 1 Tyler said he will do trivia every day this week while I serve a ban. I think after you see his questions for today, you may want me back, but that's up to you guys. Today is the Sports Weekend Recap presented by Tier 1 Tyler.
All right. How many tiers are there?
Five.
We'll take caller five in honor of Jesse's five tiers of friendship. Caller 5, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 5 to play Wilde and Tausch Trivia next. Want to remind you, I was just at Fleet Farm again this weekend, and their Fleet Rewards program gives you the chance to earn rewards on every purchase you make. Join today for free and start earning toward your next $5 reward in Fleet Bucks. Go to fleetfarm.com/rewards to join Fleet Rewards or to learn more about the program or to check your balance like I do. And getting ready for spring fishing, Fleet Farm is here to help you get all the gear that you need. Shop their huge selection of rods and reels, plus check exclusive lures that you won't find anywhere else. Find it all under one roof at Fleet Farm, your fishing headquarters. Caller 5 for trivia next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Let's play some trivia. Let's welcome in our contestant. It is Greg in Tosa. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Jason. How are you?
Well, I'll let you know after we play trivia because I don't know if it's Jesse's bitterness at the criticism he received or if he's a little bit threatened by Tier 1 Tyler, but he intimated that we're going to wish he was doing trivia again after this. So, depending on how you fare, we'll decide how good I feel, all right? The category is the Sports Weekend Recap presented by Tier 1 Tyler. Question number one goes to Tausch.
All right, the Milwaukee Bucks clinched the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference over the weekend. Who will their opponent be in the first round of the NBA playoffs? Is it the Bulls, Pacers, or New York?
That would be the Indiana Pacers.
That is correct.
One for one. Jesse, how do you critique that first question?
What a funny third answer that was.
You're so bitter. All right, Greg, question two.
That's what you guys said to me 3 days last week. Where's the punchline? Huh? Now we get one person because he's a friend of the show that does it. Oh, what a great first question. Ah, good start to the week.
The third answer wasn't funny at all. I can't argue with that. It wasn't. It was not great. I'm not raving about it.
Question two. At the Masters this weekend, Scottie Scheffler was presented with the green jacket for winning the tournament by which other golfer? Was it Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, or John Rahm?
John Rahm.
Because he won it last year. That's how that works. Tausch, what do you think so far? Too easy?
I thought that was a really fair question. That was fair for a number two question. Very fair. All right, last one. During Sunday's Brewers-Orioles game, former Brewers pitcher Corbin Burnes gave up a leadoff home run to which Brewers hitter? Is it Yelly? Is it Contreras? Or is it Churio?
I wish it were Churio, but it was Contreras.
I'm happy when we get three questions right. That brings me happiness. So I'm very happy with today's questions. Jesse, why did you think we wouldn't like them? Too easy?
I mean, two of them were easy peasy. And then the third, the tough one was the middle one about who presented the jacket. But
that's not tough. It's always the guy who won it the previous year.
So it wasn't Tiger and it wasn't Nicklaus. Pretty easy. Very easy first day of questions from Tier 1 Tyler this week. No laughs. Didn't learn anything new.
No mistakes either, though, from what I could tell.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I'm going to go on Team Jesse on this one. Not Tyler's best stuff. It was very safe.
Mm-hmm.
Very safe.
Milk toast.
And easy.
He laid up.
Milk toast.
Some might say. Well, the good news for Greg is that you got all three right. You got four entries into Friday's drawing. And based on the feedback that Tier 1 Tyler is receiving from Old T and Jesse J. Nelson, you may be at an advantage, Greg, because they may be tougher tomorrow for tomorrow's contestant. So, way to take advantage of your opportunity. Thanks for playing, buddy.
All right, thanks.
Was it really that, They were definitely not funny. I will give you that.
I didn't even watch any sports over the weekend, and these were easy peasy.
I didn't know the answer to the third one. I did not watch the Brewers and Orioles. All right. We appreciate Tyler's work. Apparently, we're expecting
like
more from some.
Yes, I don't think anybody really appreciated much of any of that.
I did. I was fine with it. Jesse will turn over the keys again tomorrow. You're telling me all 5 days he's doing it.
That's the plan, unless this goes horribly, like where they're just awful questions every day.
How would you rank that?
I mean,
I think it's important like that there were no erroneous answers that were marked as correct answers.
That wasn't the issue last week with mine, though. That's not why we're in this predicament.
True.
We were in this predicament because mine were ridiculed as being boring and not funny.
Some might say that would be true of today's as well.
If we've replaced the problem by just doing it a different way, the same way.
With someone who gets us free bubbler.
I guess that's the perk.
Okay. Well, that's it for trivia. Tausch, tell us a little bit about Fortria so Jesse can reclaim his rightful opportunity to be heard on the air by doing Woe Nelly after that.
Yeah, if you're looking for extra spending cash, Fortria has got you covered. A couple of different studies. Healthy men and women of non-childbearing potential, age 18 to 60. BMI of 18.5 to 30. Study involves one stay, 11 nights, two follow-ups. Be compensated up to $5,302 for your time. Another study, healthy males and females, non-childbearing potential, again, age 18 to 65. At BMI of 18 to 35, study involves one stay of four nights, three follow-up visits, be compensated $4,430 for your time and participation. Head to FortriaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortria, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
Woe Nelly is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
After our critique of Tyler's questions, now it's time to critique Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wilde and Tausch.
All right, yesterday was 414 Day, April 14th, celebrating the area code distinguished for the city of Milwaukee. My favorite thing about Milwaukee is going to a Brewers game. What's your favorite thing about Milwaukee, Tausch?
Oh, I think the food. I'm going to go food.
Food makes or breaks your trip to Milwaukee,
make or break of any trip.
I think it's a super underrated food town. So that would be kind of top that. And then all of the different events, especially sporting, that you can go to. That's what hits it for me for Milwaukee.
Summerfest. Number one.
Woe Nelly!
All good answers. Speaking of the Brewers, because I brought them up, Corbin Burns did not get a win yesterday against the Brewers in his revenge start for the Baltimore Orioles.
William Contreras hit a leadoff home run, I'm
told. He did, yes. It was a nice welcome back Corbin Burns in the rotation to the Baltimore Orioles. Bang, right out of the gates in the revenge game. The Brewers have yet to lose a series this year. What do you make of the hot start for the Brewers, who I don't know if they still have, I'll check this right now. I think they still have the best record in the National League. They did for sure entering play on Saturday, and they won Saturday. I'll double check. I think they
are
the best
Yankees
in the league.
Yeah, the Yankees are the only other team with a better record in the entire league. You're
That's
right
amazing.
About that, Jesse. It's pretty astonishing to watch what this offense has been able to do. A lot of credit goes to Murph and to what I don't know if it's an approach or if it's just the youth. I don't know. It's also a small sample size, but man, I don't think anyone could say they're not super impressed with what we've seen offensively from this crew so far, 15, 17 days into the season, whatever it is.
The Los Angeles Dodgers have more wins, as do the Pirates. But winning.
What's the loss column look like?
That's exactly.
Yeah, so the Brewers.
This is, you try to set up a pretty good gag because, and he finishes your sentence because that's where we're at on this show. The Brewers are three ahead of the Dodgers in the loss column, and they are one game ahead of the Pirates in the loss column because I know you were curious. Whoa, Nelly!
Jason, you don't have any thoughts on the Brewers?
Here's my thought. We're not even 10% of the way through the season, and as soon as they have the Oakland A's come through town and sweep them, you guys are going to be poo-pooing them anyway, so I'm just reserving judgment.
They go to Oakland.
Yeah, better not get swept by the A's. By the way, you get swept by the A's, you don't win any playoff games. Kind of how that plays.
Whoa, Nelly!
No
one likes to talk about how we were right about the whole thing last year, but so be it.
You said they were done in June. You did not.
Yeah, done
did
from,
they win it?
Done from making any noise in the playoffs.
No,
they made, they
done
make
from
any noise
you
in the playoffs.
Said they were not making the playoffs. That's what you said.
I did. I was surprised they made the playoffs, but they did not make any noise.
Whoa, Nelly!
Don't pull a hammy or a calf muscle trying to stretch to make that sound like you knew what you were talking about.
What?
Whoa, Nelly!
He's stretching. He's straining to. Yeah. Never mind.
Connor Asigian is in the transfer portal. Former Wisconsin men's basketball player. He's in the portal.
Where's he going?
Well, I got duped a little bit on Saturday. As I was doing a show on ESPN Madison, I saw that Connor Asigian had tweeted in a Maryland jersey, did a photo shoot, four different photos, said, "What we think, Terp Nation," and then he had a hashtag, which I misread. The hashtag was, "Not committed." He then also shared the same thing in a South Carolina uniform and said, "What we think, Gamecock Nation, hashtag not committed." Is it IPT? And like, I don't want to tell everybody else how to run their business, but it feels like Connor is just riling up a bunch of fan bases, and more people are going to be upset about how this thing plays out than are going to celebrate his arrival at whatever school he chooses to go to. I would not choose to do this. And since Saturday, the tweets have now been taken down.
Yeah, they're gone.
They are no longer on his Twitter feed, so I couldn't even give you a link for him. IPT or no of Connor Asigian to tweet a bunch of different jerseys for different teams that he's decked out in saying hashtag not committed.
No, that's where you have somebody else tweet it for you under a different account. You don't have to do it yourself. I get it. I mean, it's just not my deal, but you're excited about your next journey and where it could lead. And the fact that there's this many schools interested in you when you couldn't get 2 minutes in any meaningful game for your old team,
yeah.
I think he's probably just excited that somebody wants him and he wants everyone to know that they want him. So isn't that what social media is about?
I'm sorry that you got duped, Jesse.
While
you misread the tweets and deserve some critique for that, the overarching point is that I'm not sure why you're doing that.
I don't know what the value is.
Right? Once you pick, then you post the picture of you. And I'm a Connor Asigian fan, but post the picture of the team you chose.
Like, if you want to save the, like, you go to all these schools with your visits and you get the pictures, just put them in a little collage at home and be like, hey, man, this was when I was in the portal and I got my South Carolina uniform and here I am in Maryland and here I am and wherever else he goes.
Yeah, why don't you save the fax machine photo then, too, and everything? Hey, bro, it's the year 2024.
It's the 24th century.
It's no longer about, like, keeping it to yourself and keeping, like, a nice little dossier at the crib. It's now about showing the world.
Crib?
So that's where we're at. Connor's doing it. That's what people want to be. People want their business out on the street. That's what they want. That's why they're doing it.
I guess I'm not paying attention to the transfer portal very closely. Are lots of transfer portal players posting photos of themselves in a myriad of jerseys when they visit different schools?
I only saw one other one.
I usually only see when you pick your new school. Your Jackrabbit guy that you sent, he posted
Isaac
for
Lindsay.
Mineral Points.
Yeah.
You're right? He's
Mineral Pointer.
Picked a school. So he posted a picture of himself in a Jackrabbit jersey. I don't think that that's unreasonable. You could still be keeping your other stuff at the crib.
The dossier.
Coming across your desk. And in the meantime, wait to post where you're actually going. I think that's reasonable. I don't think that's a harsh critique of Connor. Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
All right, last up, the Houston Rockets and Los Angeles Clippers were playing in what was essentially a meaningless game yesterday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that in the fourth quarter, if a player missed both free throws from the opposing team, Clippers fans would win free chicken sandwiches. The player not only missed the first, but then worked up the crowd and intentionally missed the second free throw so that everybody would get free chicken and he would be celebrated as an opponent doing so for the fans on the road. Tausch, if in a meaningless final week of the regular season, Ryan Longwell intentionally missed a field goal so that fans in New York or Tampa or wherever would win free food, how would you feel about him doing so?
I would not like it. I think this is a cute story, but I think you're missing a bigger picture on this story.
Are you going to be the party pooper here?
Is this not shady?
Oh, you're going to say point shaving?
No, it's not. It's you're not doing your best so that there's an outcome that fans generally want. What's the stop? We just saw what's the dude's name that's under investigation for grabbing extra rebounds and doing all this other stuff. Hey, that's cute. It's fun. This dude's a big old dude. Everybody seems to like him. But you think Chick-fil-A liked it?
I don't. Like, I wonder don't think when they did. No.
When you do these things, there's a lot of different entities that are putting a lot of money into a certain amount of points that you win by, or rebounds that players get, or assists that are done. And for it to be such a fun little joke, are they doing the same thing if you had a bunch of money on something? And, oh boy, if he needed 1 point for you to cover or for you to win one of your quote-unquote bets, is it just as fun?
Well, you're talking.
I don't know, Jim.
Yeah, you're talking to somebody who doesn't like wagering and betting. So, yes, this is fun. Chick-fil-A is getting all kinds.
But what's the difference?
You of all people just gave Chick-fil-A free advertising by mentioning them, which you never do. So, Chick-fil-A coming out ahead by him missing, no matter how many chicken sandwiches they gave out, because this story is everywhere. But to your point. And again, I don't poo-poo you for this exact reason. We have opened the Pandora's box of legalized wagering and gambling and people putting money on games legally, and this is what happens. If this didn't exist, if we didn't have all this, this would be a fun story, right? If this happens in 2004, this is a fun story. But because of the ramifications that are the unintended consequences, a fun little story like this, you're absolutely right. I have no pushback on you for your reasoning.
Party pooper.
He is, but he's not wrong. And the slippery slope of point shaving and all the other stuff. So a fun little thing like this, Tausch is right. I hate that he's right, but he's right. If you're playing a daily fantasy game, and a guy needs one more rebound, and it decides whether or not you got the more or the less correct, and he intentionally misses a shot and then grabs his own rebound to get that stat.
Or the Rockets are favored by 14, and if he makes one, you end up winning, but he misses two because he wants to
get everybody
chicken.
You don't
think that there's some stuff that should be...
No, you're... Again, understand where I'm coming from here. From a Chick-fil-A standpoint and from a fun standpoint, I'm totally on board with this. I love this story. To your point about what the Pandora's box that's been opened by all this tells us, yeah, you're right. There's no disagreeing with you. So we can call you the party pooper if we want, but your point is valid.
I'm being a party pooper. Yep.
That's it for Wonelli. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Well, I'll be back from around the way. It seems like everywhere I move, the more I see, the less I know.
I understand that was not the most fun way to approach that story.
It was actually the least fun way to approach that story.
But Tausch is right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if it wasn't as fun as how other people approached it. But I think Tausch nailed it. Still, good for Chick-fil-A getting the pub of the free chicken that everybody got. And I love the fact that the guy did it, even if it's a little bit sketchy. Tausch, anything to add?
You can't have it both ways. You can't love it.
No, I think
it
I just did.
Say it. But you can't.
I can say I love it, but I respect and I think your opinion is a good one. And your point you made was a good one. And that's all we have the time for.
I think the guy just wanted to give some fans some chicken.
In a carefree world, that's great.
It's not the world we live in. Still like the story. That's it for us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.